You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in studio with me today Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik, which means it's about the end of the month. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And like we say, it is about the end of March. We're looking into April. Things are moving along. A lot of stuff going on in the county, a lot of things that we need to talk about today. I would like to start with the process that is in place right now for naming an interim attorney for the county. As we all know, James Backstrom had to retire because of medical issues and other factors back in February, and we have an interim one kind of serving right now, but we need to name one until the elections in 2022. Where's the process on that right now?
Well, thank you, Mike. Yes, as you stated, the first lieutenant under County Attorney Backstrom, Kathy Keena, has been named the acting county attorney until we go through the interview process. And at our most recent county board meeting, we went and named the three candidates that we, as a county board, will be interviewing. And they are the acting county attorney, Kathy Keena, retired Judge Tom Pugh, and Assistant County Attorney for Ramsey County, Elizabeth Lamon.
Okay.
So those are the three names that we interviewed. And as we've been going through this process, the board had a pretty extensive conversation that actually coincided with our conversation of when will the board be meeting in person. Because as of now, we've been running on a hybrid model. And for the last number of months, we've had only one commissioner, typically the chair or their designee in the boardroom.
Okay.
And the remainder of the board members have been operating via Zoom.
All right.
And we just felt when you're, we had some mixed opinions. Some people said, well, we should just continue that process and interview the next county attorney the same way and just do it over Zoom. And myself and a few others were pretty adamant that this is a very important position that needs to be done in person.
And what's the rationale for that position?
Well, so, you know, our county attorney is not only the criminal attorney for the whole county, but is also the attorney who represents the county board and any both civil and criminal actions related to the county. So when you're making a position that's one of the highest paid positions in the entire county that has incredible responsibility, you know, looking somebody in the eye face to face, body language is very important. It's no different than we've had some vacant positions in our senior leadership team. And those have been done in person. The first rounds are always done, you know, via Zoom or something like that. But then the final one, when you're making the decision of who will be the next leader for that division, have always been in person. Even during the pandemic, that was done. And myself and a few others felt that that was what we should do. However, we've still had some uncomfortableness with being in person as a county board and as policymakers. So ultimately what we did is we sent it back to the subcommittee, and there's a subcommittee of the county board, myself, Commissioner Lori Halverson, and the chaired by Commissioner Kathleen Gaylord. And we were the ones who were able to whittle down the candidates and make recommendations for these three to the full county board and also figure out a process. And ultimately what came out of this is we do believe that it is appropriate for the county board to go in and do this process of interviews in person.
In person,
and we're not in that big of a rush that we have to name a new person immediately. So for that reason, we're going to be recommending to the county board that we wait and do the interviews at the beginning of May.
Okay.
And we keep the interim Kathy Keena for the month of April, at least. As one of the candidates, she may be the permanent appointed county attorney. But she's doing fine in her first 25-plus days, and she'll can do that. We're very confident of her work. So we will go in, and so that is the recommendation of the board, is to actually, by that point, a whole lot more people will be vaccinated. We'll have one of our very big concerns is spring break is going to create a whole lot of people who are maybe making choices that they would not make in given this past year. So we should be over that potential hump in cases. And
okay.
So that's kind of our result, is we will do we're recommending in-person interviews for these three candidates beginning of May.
I found it interesting that a retired judge is listed on that on that list.
Yeah.
I guess this is more a question probably for that candidate than for you, but what would it be what is enticing about that position to bring someone out of retirement for an interim designation?
I'm sure that that's a question that will get asked, and yeah, as much as we can ask it with an employment law.
But
I will say that one of the things is the meetings will still, the actual interviews are open to the public. They're mm-hmm. also live streamed.
Sure.
As well as, I know there's a couple different organizations. Another benefit of waiting till May is that a couple of organizations are trying to go and do a meet the candidate and ask some individual questions and possibly do a couple Zoom forums. And the county board won't be part of that. We'll actually just make the decision. But to get the general public to kind of hear what the three say, and the general public will let us know what
sure.
their opinion
oh, yeah.
is. So.
And the final decision does rest with the Board of Commissioners because of the way the statute is set up. But then that position is also up for general election in 2022. So the term that is being set up now is just for that, from now until the elections in 2022 for that.
That is correct. Yeah, by state law, the sheriffs and county attorneys, we cannot declare a vacancy and have a special election. The county board, by state law, has to appoint a person until the next election.
Okay. You mentioned also, and we're moving kind of quickly today, just kind of one of the ways that this day just goes. We get into it, we hit the accelerator, and here we go. You talked about meeting in person and rolling back some of the other restrictions from COVID. We've been in this for a year now. Mm-hmm. Where is the county at on most of that stuff? Are most of the services still doing, we're still, of course, obeying the guidelines that come down from the state, but what is the plan going forward for the county to reestablish in-person services?
Yeah, so we've been about 40% of our employees have been in person, either from the very beginning or at least when we opened our doors to many of our buildings on June 3rd of last year.
Okay.
So that's been about 40% of our workforce that has been that way. That includes our libraries, which are open now. Our libraries are open to the 6 of the 7 days that they used to be open. And
mm-hmm.
We're getting closer. One of the things of note is the governor's executive orders will be changing officially April 15th that allow employees to go back to work. So,
yeah.
So our government, the county government has kind of followed the governor's executive order in that have set up to this point has said, if you don't need to be back to work, don't go back to work. Work from home if your job can do. And they're
sure.
There's been a lot of handcuffs that have gone with that have really restricted that. But for example, our driver's licenses and records and property taxes and libraries, they've been open almost the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And courts just opened up March 15th. So now our court system is back open again, and that opens up a few more positions that we have. And you're going to start to see, so we're going to be discussing as a county board the end of April of what of our positions. A lot of our the remaining positions are backdoor positions. Your finance, your HR, your public, some of your social services that do a lot of the social service aspect of the business, and those will have discussions on how quick they come back. But I would anticipate that you should see much of that back to some normalcy by early summer, by June. Some of us would like to be a whole lot sooner than that.
And, right.
I know a lot, talking to the HR director earlier this week, he was saying that many of the staff are just itching to come back. And even if it's just a couple days, they miss seeing their coworkers.
There's a certain kind of camaraderie that you just can't get working from home. You know, you have your coworkers and the kind of interactions that go on there. It's just a good atmosphere for business to be in.
Yeah, but we've really tried to the general ones that you'd meet with the public. We've started back up some of our education programming for some of our education programming in our parks is back to in person, and
mm-hmm.
and the parks are maintained and people are using them like crazy, and so a lot of that stuff we've been able to still maintain, and that's continued. Right now we have a greeter at all of our buildings that kind of welcomes
nice.
You, make sure that
yep.
you're wearing your mask and following the appropriate CDC protocols
mm-hmm.
To do business. And it's gone very well. In fact, we have that at the libraries, and they keep track on count to make sure we're not having capacity issues. And
okay.
So we've used some of our federal funding, and that goes through June. to be able to go and have some kind of greeters and counters and make sure we're following that. And quite frankly, when a majority of the population gets vaccinated, I think a lot of these things won't be necessary.
That would be good. Speaking of which, I know Washington County just had a thing out the other day where they're expanding some of their vaccination services. Eligibility is continuing to be expanded from the state. Mm-hmm. How's Dakota County going with expanding availability and providers?
So on the county side, things are going well. We're not exactly getting our requested doses from the state of Minnesota yet, so we have more capacity to do more vaccines than we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of at the point where we ask for more than we actually get. But we've been able to do 2,000 to 3,000 new vaccines each week, just out of our clinics, which currently are being held at the Western and Northern Service Centers in Apple Valley and in West St. Paul.
West St. Paul on Mendota Road. Yeah,
but important to note that beginning on March 31st, they will be moving. We'll be moving to one location at Metcalf Junior High in Egan. That is it's part of the Burnsville School District, and it's a junior high that they shut down a few years ago due to smaller class sizes.
Sure.
And as a result of that, the county is now going to rent that and will actually be able to do more daily capacity than what they are able to do in two sites right now. So they're going to be able to knock out 1,500 vaccines every single day that they're open.
Nice.
With Medcap. So, and it will actually be, and that's actually with less staff than what they have now, because they can combine them and that. So they're going to be able to do more capacity, less people. Based on the current number of vaccines that the state is anticipating giving the county, will actually be one less day. But we know that eventually more vaccines will come out and we'll be able to do a Monday through Thursday. But things have gone very well in that part there. So that's been a positive. Just the most recent numbers is 106,000 Dakota County residents have at least one dose in their arm.
Okay.
So that might be their first. It might be the Johnson & Johnson single dose.
I was just going to ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think a number to keep in mind is 59,000 Dakota County residents are fully vaccinated.
Nice.
Have their complete part in there. So we're still a population of roughly 435,000 people. So we're creeping up there on the number to get where we want to be, and we're going up a percent or two every single day.
Sure.
On that. So the numbers are getting there, and I think right now, if we get our allocation as designed for next week, we'll see another about 3,300 first doses that public health will be able to do. So we're getting there. I should just make note that Dakota County, if you are one of the eligible groups as of now, Dakota County has a online sign up that you can go in and sign up. It only goes live once a week, and that's for the following week's appointment. So typically on Fridays, you can expect to go in and see all the availabilities.
Sure.
So if you pay attention to the website on Fridays, that's the day you go there. But we're also hearing, more clinics, Fairview clinics have said, we'll take people who aren't even our customers and from your Walgreens to Coburn's to all the other thrifties. So we're starting to see more availability, particularly in the metro.
And it's starting to work out into like the pharmacies and the clinics. It's not a lot of the vaccinations so far had been administered by the county through their provider. So that's starting to expand also.
So the federal government has a pharmacy program, and with that, most of the pharmacies that were getting those vaccines were in greater Minnesota. And then the clinics were getting there. We're kind of just getting it on all fronts. So the county's starting to get more. The county, a while ago, the county was only getting enough to basically, they had started with the nursing homes and then the teachers. And after this week, I think all teachers will have had their second dose by the end of this week.
Good.
So that's kind of, it's kind of spreading to everybody, and there's just more general availability. I should also make note that the county is going to be opening up a clinic in Hastings the middle of April.
Okay.
When they move to Medcalf, it moves even more people further away from Hastings. It is now of public record, but it's going to be a much smaller clinic at the community room at the Pleasant Hill Library. They're going to do a smaller clinics on, I believe, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for people in the eastern part of the county who just can't travel all the way to the other end. So,
okay.
So they'll partner with one of our nursing groups to go in and administer that. And then
we've at the news department here at KDWA, we've also been kind of checking around with corporate pharmacies and outlets for vaccinations, and they're really starting to gear up where the vaccinations are available there too. Yeah. So if you can't get it through the county because of scheduling conflicts or whatever, please make sure to check with your local pharmacies, your local drugstores, because it may also be available there.
Absolutely. And I'd say probably some of the biggest restriction right now with vaccine is just there's only certain people eligible. So there's
right. So you have to check the eligibility requirements.
You have to check the eligibility, and I think that's the part is when you become eligible, that's a difference. So there's a lot of people still anxious and waiting, but it's just we're moving in the right direction, but it's quite not, frankly, their turn yet. So.
Right. And another recommendation is to sign up with the state's COVID vaccine website to get notified when you are eligible. I did that myself earlier this week, so now I'm just waiting for those eligibility requirements to expand a little bit. They will notify me, and then I can go in and schedule my vaccination where I need to go.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so it's getting there. I was on a call recently where they were saying that they're still anticipating the eligibility to be everybody by May 1st. So
that would be excellent.
So.
You know, these segments really fly by, Mike. I tell you, we sat down and we started talking just a little bit about the attorney candidates, and we got as far as vaccines, and our time is almost already gone. I feel like we've been going 80 miles an hour. But as we get ready to close out this segment, I would like to give you the opportunity, as I always do, to provide your contact information should any county residents have questions or concerns.
Sure. Mine and all of my colleagues' contact information is on the Dakota County website, dakotacounty.us. You click on commissioners and you can get any of our, a lot of us have our home phone numbers, our office numbers, our emails on there. That's what I have on mine is you can call my office, leave a message. It gets forwarded on to me. Call my house, send me an email. All of them will work. Those who know me can always either send a message on Facebook, either to my commissioner page, or if we're Facebook friends, that works as well too. So kind of all sorts of social media and public works great. So.
Excellent. I am sitting down here with Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik, and we are about out of time. I'd like to thank you for your time during this segment. You are tuned to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.